بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are living in a world where we are passing through difficult times. For some of us, may Allah have mercy, that difficulty is personal, it's happening to them. Others are watching these things happening to those they love. And therefore, it's very important to understand the nature of hardship and relief. To understand the source of both, we must understand that that source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is Allah? And what does He want for us? Nobody can introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than He introduced Himself. And He said, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Allah said, which means Allah, there is no God worthy of worship except Him, the ever-living, all-sustaining. Neither drowsiness nor sleep overtake Him. To Him belong whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Whoever could possibly intercede with Him without His permission? He fully knows what is ahead of them and what is behind them. But no one can grasp any of His knowledge except that which He wills to reveal. His seat, kursi, encompasses the heavens and the earth, and the preservation of both does not tire Him, for He is the Most High, the Greatest. The second set of ayat, Surah Al-Hashr, last three ayat, He is Allah, there is no God worthy of worship except Him, knower of the seen and the unseen, knower of the perceptible and the unperceivable. He is the most compassionate, most merciful. He is Allah. There is no God except Him, the King, the Most Holy, the All-Perfect, the Source of Serenity, the Watcher of all, the Almighty, the Supreme in Might, the Majestic. Glorified is Allah, far above what they associate with Him in worship. He is Allah, the Creator, the Inventor, the Shaper. He alone has the most beautiful names. Whatever is in the heavens and the earth, constantly glorify Him. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And the last set, Surah Al-Ikhlas. Say, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He is Allah, one and indivisible. Allah, the Sustainer, who everyone and everything needs, and He does not need anything from them. He has never had offspring, nor was He born, and there is none comparable to Him. This is Allah. This is the one we worship. And this is the one from whom we get everything, that which is difficult and that which is easy. About what He wants for us, He said in the ayat related to fasting, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah intends for ease for you. Allah wants for you ease, not hardship. So why then are there trials and hardships in life? To understand this, we must understand that in life, appearance is deceptive. Many times behind the apparently negative, great positivity is hidden. We know that one of the most severe, if not the most severe pain that any human being can suffer is the pain of childbirth. Why then do women have children? Not only have them, but want them and pray to have them and go to all sorts of lengths for children. Because when the mother holds the baby in her arms, she forgets the pain. The Quran tells us story after story of the Anbiya, the prophets and messengers who faced not just hardships, but each one apparently total and terminal, yet were victorious in the end. And not only... Now, it's only when you know the whole story that you can see the pattern and the sequence, where the hardship and the danger were signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in control, and that whatever was happening was according to His plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, in the well, and slavery, and in jail. One more difficult and worse than the other. He told us the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, tied up, trussed up in the cup of the trebuchet, the catapult, about to be thrown into the fire, and then actually thrown into the fire. He told us the story, we know the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, in Taif. What happened to him? We know the story of Musa alayhi salam, between the sea and Pharaoh's army, and other stories. And we know how each of these stories ended. The Quran tells us stories not for entertainment or history lessons, but as a means of interpreting or helping us to interpret the events of our own lives. So let us see today's scenes of apparent difficulties and disasters in this light. This is the benefit of Islam. We are influenced by the apparent and the immediate, and don't remember that it's part of a sequence which for the believer results in Jannah. It's like the electrician cleaning the copper wire by rubbing it and scraping it and so on, all hardship, so that current will flow smoothly and properly through it. It is the pain, for example, of weightlifting or hard aerobic exercise, but without that, a good-looking and good and well-functioning body is not possible. The lesson is that no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the apparent loss, if it takes me to Jannah, then it's worth it without doubt. Because loss in this life is inevitable. But Jannah must be earned. It's not inevitable. If I give up something that I would have lost anyway, to get something that is mine forever and to get Jannah, which is mine forever, then that is a bargain. And I welcome it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that no calamity happens without His will and permission. And who is He? He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. He is the most beneficent, the most merciful. And He is completely ala kulli shayin qadir, completely in control. And He is sending it. And then He said that He, so through it, through the difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports and protects the hearts and minds of those afflicted so that they can see the reality behind it and they don't lose hope. They remain firm on the faith while others look at them in astonishment. This is the real help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes to those who have faith in Allah. The real help of Allah, who is always with us, which comes to those who have faith in Him. Allah said, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah said, no calamity befalls anyone except by the will of Allah. And whoever has faith in Allah, he will be rightly guided, and Allah, He rightly guides their hearts through the adversity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfect knowledge of all things. We find that difficulty sometimes come to people who are on the right path, people who take decisions keeping in mind the pleasure of Allah, yet they seem to face difficulties and calamities, while people who are disobedient and rebellious or downright evil seem to get away with all that they do. Now, this can cause confusion in the minds of those who do not have the knowledge of Islam to understand the reality of what is going on. I remind myself and you that Islam is a religion based on knowledge, on perfect knowledge revealed from Allah. It's not the knowledge of wise people. It's not the knowledge of our own imagination. It's not the knowledge of anything. It is the knowledge directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is perfect knowledge. It is a religion that is based on the revelation from Allah, the Kitab of Allah, and the Sunnah, the guiding light, the field book, the way of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. On one occasion, Rasulullah ﷺ drew a square in the sand. He then drew a straight line through it, going up to the top of the square and through the top line, emerging out of it at the top end. Then he drew other smaller lines coming in from the edge of the square and pointing inwards towards the straight line. Then he asked his companions, do you know what this means? They replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger know best. He said, this line going through the middle of the box represents the human being. The other lines aiming towards it are the trials and tribulations of life that come at him from all directions. If a person manages to avoid one of these trials, he will run into one of the others. The surrounding square, which is the whole square, is the lifespan that encompasses the person. The extension of the line outside the box represents his hopes. The person remains busy with those hopes, but the term of life comes to an end before they are fulfilled. I remind myself and you that life is a collection of incidents. Some of these are trials. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to test us and told us what to do when we go through the trials. He said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِيكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب. Allah said in Surah Al-Baqarah, do you think you will be admitted into Jannah without being tested? Like those before you, they were afflicted with suffering and adversity and were so violently shaken that even the messenger and the believers with him cried out and say, when will the help of Allah come? Indeed, Allah's help is always near. Trials are the means of getting into Jannah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannah without trials. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that Jannah is not something that is so easy to attain, and that all that we need to do is to simply profess faith. Allah told us that people of faith have always been tested, and so shall we be tested. We forget this when we decide to turn over a new leaf and start to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We expect the angels to walk with us in the street, and we expect to shake hands with them. The reality, however, is different. The reality is the same as when we want to go into a higher class in school, or one entry into a great university, or a promotion at work. When we announce that we are ready for the promotion by applying for the job, we are invited to a test. If we pass the test, we get promoted, but we must pass the test. The same situation happens in life. When we announce to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are ready to obey Him and change our lives, and to make His pleasure the sole criterion for our decisions, naturally the first thing that happens is that we are tested to see how truthful we are. The only difference is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests, He also supports us in the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even helps us to remain steadfast. The first lesson, therefore, is to understand that tests are an indication that we are upwardly mobile, and that our levels are being raised, and we are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us and said, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَن كَثِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means whatever affliction befalls you is because of what your own hands have committed. And He pardons much, which means that we don't get a difficulty for every sin that we commit. The second thing to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to test us. And He said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقُصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا صَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means we will certainly test you with a touch of fear and famine and loss of property and life and crops and children and so on. Give good news to those who patiently endure, who when faced with disaster, they say, surely to Allah we belong and to Him we will all return. They are the ones who will receive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings and mercy, and it is they who are rightly guided. Let's ask ourselves, what is the value of receiving salawat, the blessings and mercy of Allah directly from Allah? Is that worth whatever difficulty we had to endure? This thought will help us to put things in perspective. A small particle of dust, for example, in the eye is enough to bring us to tears. But the reality is that it's only a small particle of dust. Perspective is important to understand what happens to us. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised the believers that He would test them, in His mercy, He also taught them how to deal with difficulties and how to ask for His help when we are tested. And He promised to help us in a way which is incredible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah said, O believers, seek help in patience, in sabr, and in prayer, in salah. and dua. Allah is truly with the people, the believers who are patient. Sabr is to make the maximum effort and then to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg for His help. It's not just sitting there and waiting for things to happen. It is to do everything possible first and then beg Allah for His help. Salah comes after sabr for this reason. And salah therefore is worth spending time to improve and to strengthen. The other very important thing to remember is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He is with those who believe, who have sabr. He is with those. He did not say Allah will help them. Allah said, verily Allah is with those who have sabr. Now there is a promise of help and there is a promise of the one who helps being with the one who needs the help. And between the two, there is a world of difference. It's like the difference between the king saying, I will help you, and saying, I am with you. When the king helps or promises to help, the help is confined and restricted to whatever he gives and to the problem. But when he says, I am with you, then the help encompasses all that the king owns. The king with all his authority and wealth and power is with us, which is more valuable. That is what happens when we have sabr and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him without committing shirk. Question is, do we have this realization and experience and understanding of what we are doing? This is what we must develop. Worship about which we feel nothing is mechanical. It's like a tick in the box, but has no other effect. We must worship knowing that the one we worship is real and is seeing and hearing us and knows what's in our hearts. He is the most merciful, the most powerful, and knows what is good for us way better than we ever could. And He will do that for us. We must show that trust in our speech and actions. And salah is the most important place to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then showed us what we need to do to access His treasures, which is to develop taqwa. When we develop taqwa and are focused on pleasing Allah alone to the best of our ability, He promised to help us out of our difficulties and to provide us from sources we cannot imagine. The secret of getting out of difficulties is very clear. Develop taqwa. Make tawbah, make istighfar, follow the sunnah. Forget all your advisors and listen to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures will open for you. Taqwa plus sunnah equals why plus how equals success. Allah said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah said, and whoever fears Allah, whoever fears to displease the one who loves the most and keeps his duty to Him, He will make a way for him to get out of every difficulty. And He will provide him from sources he could never imagine. And whoever puts his trust in Allah, He will be sufficient, Allah will become sufficient for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He told us the way that we can have Allah on our sides. Allah said, Inna Allaha ma'al ladina taqaw wal ladina hum muhsinun. Allah said, truly Allah is with those who have taqwa, who fear to displease Him, and those who are muhsinun, who do ihsan, who have excellence in worship and all kinds of good deeds. The way to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our side is to develop taqwa, to develop the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to use the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the sole criterion in all decision making. The natural outcome of this focus is the development of al ihsan, excellence in worship and all good deeds. How do we please Allah? By obeying Him in the best possible manner. When we do this, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in unexpected ways, from unexpected sources and at unexpected times. When the one who is in total control is with you, hearing and seeing, and you are engaged in doing His work, then what do you have to fear? What can anyone or anything do without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nothing. That is the most reassuring thing that we can hope to know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. The key to the help of Allah is to obey him in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the way to get relief from all hardships. We have the key code, but remember, to open the door, the full code must be punched in the right sequence. That code is Islam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.